Well, good morning, church. I'm excited to see you today. Glad that you're here. And just so you know, I still get nervous to get up here. Not because I don't know what I'm doing yet, but just because I still understand the ramifications of what I'm doing. And each Sunday I just get excited because I just ask, Lord, look, if we can just say something and if we can just reach somebody and give them something for their life, for the day, for their week, for whatever they're going through, that's what I'm aiming for. But I am still grateful to do it. I still get excited to do it, and I just love to see God's Word being alive in our lives and seeing our faith grow as we trust Him more each day. So, that's why I know sometimes I just sound, I sound a little goofy, sound a little too excited, but I am excited. I am excited about God's Word. What it does and how it affects us. So I guess when I stop being excited and goofy, I'll be done. But this morning I'm still excited and goofy, and it's not just Christmas cheer. We had our fun, but we are moving forward to a new year. And I don't know, maybe it'll snow this week or something. I don't know. We'll see. It is in some places, so maybe we'll see something eventually. If not, if you were dreaming of a white Christmas, change the song. Maybe dreaming of a white Easter this year. We'll take the snow then. All right, Sherry, did you have a wet ground this week? One morning, we had a rain one morning. I thought of you because I think it was Thursday morning. Yeah, so water on the ground. Yeah, it was wet. I was wet when I got up. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer, and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we are here today to celebrate and worship your name. And we thank you for bringing us together and letting us do that. We are here today to be encouraged by your Word, by the fellowship of our brothers and sisters. And Father, we are here today to renew our faith so that we will keep our eyes focused on Jesus and looking forward to seeing Him face to face. Lord, that's our hope. That is our dream and that is our focus. And so I pray that today you will renew our faith. I pray that today you will open our hearts. Lord, we confess to you, we know that we let you down. We know that we put other things in front of you from time to time. We don't want to, and we usually don't even mean to. But I ask that you forgive us. I ask that you forgive us when we serve other gods. Father, may we recognize your lordship over all aspects of our lives. And as we study your scriptures today, I pray, Lord, that you will do your awesome, miraculous work of renewal. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Boy, New Year's comes at just the right time every year, doesn't it? I mean, the holidays are the big holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas, and we just get to spend a lot of time with our family, and the new year comes and we all get to thinking about whether yours are written down or you've actively got a list or you just thought, I should really do something about this or that. The New Year's is a good time to think about what's ahead. And so I've been thinking about 2025. Just because I like the number 25. It's a square, so I like it. I like it. I'm excited about 2025. We think about, in the new year, we think about goals. We think about personal goals, goals that we want to accomplish. We think about physical goals, goals for our health, and just goals for where we want to be. We think about projects that have yet to be finished or yet to be started. And we think about, okay, this year, I'm going to get that done. I'm going to take care of that. And so I'm always excited about the new year's. I did read this week that, I forget what they called it, January 17th, that's the day that most people quit their New Year's resolutions. I forget what they called it. It has a name. Did anybody catch that? Yeah. Yeah. It was what?
Quitter's Day.
Yeah. That's January 17th. They said that was long enough for most people to quit their New Year's resolutions. And as you think about whatever goals that you have for the upcoming year, this morning I want us to take a look at what should be our most important goal for 2025. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. Paul writes to Timothy, "If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Jesus Christ, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe." All right, so again, the Apostle Paul just lays it out, and he says, look, physical goals, they're important. They have their place in our lives. If you're not as healthy as you need to be, and you can do something to make your body and your life healthier, do that. If you are doing something destructive that is not leading to your flourishing and living the best possible life that you can live, quit that. These goals are important. It's important to be honest with ourselves, to look at ourselves and say, you know what? I need to be better with my finances. You know what? I need to have a better attitude at work. Whatever it is, whatever goal that we have, these are important. They keep us going. And they make the world around us, and they make us better. They make us better. But Paul puts all of those into perspective, and he says, look, the most important goal that believers can have is godliness. Godliness is the most important goal that we can have, because not only does it benefit us and the world around us here, but it also carries into there. So as we are thinking about our goals, as we are thinking about our lives, as we think about our families and where we are and where we want to be and where we're headed and what direction we're going, or maybe we just got to the point or to the age where we're just like, yeah, new year's, so what? It's going to be just like last year. Whatever, wherever we find ourselves, here is a worthy and acceptable goal for 2025, godliness. Godliness. And that's what I want us to take a look at this morning. That's what I want us to embrace, because however much of 2025 we are blessed with, you may be blessed with the next 300, it's not a leap year, is it? No. You may be blessed with 365 days of 2025. You may be blessed with less than that of 2025. I don't know. You don't know. None of us may see all 365 days. Okay. But however many of those days that we are blessed with, a year from now, the only question that really matters, are we more like Jesus? Are we more like Jesus? Because that is our goal. That is our true goal. That is our ultimate goal. That is our worthy goal. that a year from now we can look back and say, are we more like Jesus? Did we take godliness seriously? Or did godliness take a back seat in our lives? Was it the most important thing? Or was it just a thing? Ben read for us in Philippians chapter 3. I love it because Chester read some of it again. Philippians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul reminds us that everything in our lives is very small compared to knowing Jesus. Everything. Everything. Our accomplishments, our possessions, our family members, everything in our lives is small compared to knowing Jesus. Now, again, some people hear that and go, well, I just love my family too much. How can you say such a thing? Well, here's the thing. It's not to make other things small. It's to make Jesus greater. Right? Think about how much you love your family. Think about what you would do for your children. Think about what you do for your children. And Jesus deserves more. Think about your favorite things and your favorite people and how much you cherish them and the sacrifices that you would make for them. And Jesus deserves even more. And that's godliness, and that's what Paul's pointing to here in Philippians chapter 3. And so, knowing Christ, we increase our faith to be more like Him in service and in love. This is our goal for the new year. It's my goal for the new year. And I think for believers, this is the acceptable goal for us to grow and for us to increase. And to, just as he says, hang on, let me find the verse. In verse 10. Philippians 3:10, it says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So Paul says the goal of a good Christian life is to avoid all suffering and get to heaven unscathed. Some of your goal this year needs to be less narcolepsy and more being awake when I misquote scripture. That's not what Paul says. He doesn't say that the goal of the Christian life is to avoid struggles and suffering and pain and hurt. No, he doesn't say, you know, whoa, just be careful, there's a puddle there. Watch that mess. Don't get involved in that. That's not what he says. He says the point of our lives is that goal of resurrection that we look forward to. And by any means necessary, we get there. Whatever it takes, we get to the resurrection of the dead. We want to be where Jesus is. We sang it this morning, right? Did you sing it out loud? I just want to be where you are. I want to be in your dwelling place. I want to bask in your glory. That's what I want for all eternity. Amen. That's our goal. And so Paul gives us the heart of reaching that goal and says, whatever it takes, I will be more godly. Whatever it takes, there will be less of me and more of Him. Whatever it takes, I will shape my life into the life and the example of Jesus Christ, my Lord, so that I can be with my Lord. That's a worthy goal. That is a worthy goal. That is worth pursuing and fixing our eyes upon and fixing our hearts on and realizing that everything that we experience in life is small compared to that. Everything else is little. Not bad. But, you know, Paul did say, hey, whatever I can accomplish, what did he consider it? Rubbish. Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm building up, the building blocks of my life and my faith as I put them all together, none of us are going to stand on those things and say, look, God, look what I did. No, they're nothing. They're nothing. We're looking to Him. We don't look back at our accomplishments. We don't look back at our life and say, oh, hey, remember that one time when I was faithful? You know what people do when they start looking back at when they were faithful? They stop looking ahead at when they need to be faithful. Right? So Paul says, I'm going to put those things away and I'm going to keep on. Oh, and here it is in verse 12. We're going to read a chunk. Let's start in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, well, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me. Keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and their glory, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like His glorious body by the power that enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. All right, go back to verses 12 and 14. Get your pen out. Get your underline and pen. And I want you to underline, press on. It's in 12 and 14. Press on. On 12 and 14. Now the Greek, if you write in the margin if you want to, is dioko. The English transliteration, it would be spelled D-I-O-K-O. Dioko. Now, this is the power, okay? Paul has said in his letter, I am pursuing. I am pursuing. Now that's a powerful word. That's a powerful word because number one, in this context, it gives us the idea of two important things. Number one, it's active. I am pursuing. Not just like, hey, hang in there. You got this. You know, don't give up. This is not a kiddie poster in your second grade teacher's classroom, of hang in there, baby. That's not what this is. Okay? This is, I am pursuing. It is active. It is active. I am pressing forward. I am actively living my life to this goal of godliness. It's not going to happen by accident. And it's, it doesn't. It has to be pursued. Why? Because we're us. We're us. Jesus is complete. He is perfect. We're not there yet. So what do? We pursue. The second thing that this assumes is that you and I can't sit still. We cannot sit still in our faith. We don't sit still. We don't just get to a point and say, okay, well, you know, I've studied everything I need to study. I've learned everything about God I need to learn. I've done all the service that God needs me to do, so I'll just sit. So I'll just sit. That'll be the Christian life for me. I'll just sit. I'll be like Jesus and sit. Hey, I'll let you off the hook if you do what Jesus did while He sat. What did He do while He sat? He prayed. What else did He do? He taught others. Yeah, so if sitting is your natural position physically, okay. But boy, you better be telling somebody. You better be telling somebody. Paul says, I am pursuing. We must keep pursuing Jesus. We have not attained this goal. And it's not because Jesus is moving. He's not a moving target that's so elusive. He's like, boy, I would love to find Jesus. If someone could just tell me where he is, or I would love to be more like Jesus if I could just only see what he does and how he acts. He's not hiding from us. You and I have just picked up other things. Jesus is not elusive. It's just our hearts and our minds become captivated by earthly things. In fact, Paul describes those people. He says, look, some people have wandered away from the faith. They stopped pursuing Jesus and they got caught up in lesser things. They got caught up in lesser things that they made greater things, so they stopped pursuing. They gave up in the pursuit. They thought that Jesus was so elusive, they're like, oh, I can't catch him, so I'll just go try this. I'll just go do that. Church, Jesus is fun to pursue because he's the only thing you can't perfect on your own. Right? Hey, show of hands. Anybody get a new video game for Christmas? Just two of you? Really? What game did you get? Okay, the new Star Wars game? Have you finished it yet? Not even close, right? Okay, so it's still worth playing? Okay. All right. Jonathan, what game did you get? Okay. Have you finished it yet? Okay, still playing it? Oh, okay. What'd you get? Whew, that's a mouthful. Have you finished it yet? Okay. Show of hands, who got a video game last year? Have you finished it yet? See, we finish things, don't we? Did you get a game last year? Yeah, did you finish it? Yeah, we don't play it as much now, do we? Oh, you still play it? Uh-huh. No, when we reach a goal, we're like, okay, I did that. You know what our video game is? We're so old, our video game was a puzzle. That's what we did this week. We put a puzzle together. It was challenging. A lot of reds and blues. I know. We put together a puzzle. That was it. But guess what we did? We finished the puzzle. Sunny took a picture of it. And she said, okay, well, that's done. She rolled it up. We put it back in the box. Done. It was completed. It was an easy goal. I mean, it took us a few days, but it was an easy goal. We completed it, and now we put it away. And Paul says, look, we have to keep pursuing godliness. We have to keep pursuing Jesus, because when we focus on other things, we're going to let go of that goal. And he says, look, it breaks my heart, but some people have let go of pursuing Jesus and they've settled for something less. They've settled for something less and they are giving up. They're giving up their faith. And that's why I want you to underline it. I want you to write it in there. This year, I am pursuing. 2025, church. I am pursuing. It's the only goal that a year from now, I'll be able to ask, or when I ask, hey, who caught him? Nobody will be able to raise their hand. Because we're not perfect. We're not complete until he comes back. So we keep pursuing. We keep pursuing. We forget what's behind. We forget the progress we made. And we say, you know what? That's not good enough. We forget how far we have come in our Christian faith and in our walk. And we don't just look at it and go, oh, you know, boy, I put a lot of energy into this Jesus thing. I guess I'm done. No, you're not. You keep pursuing. And this is a very dangerous thing for us as believers. Because the longer we're a believer, the less we tend to think is still ahead of us. It's like in our Christian faith, we just get to that point to where we think the only thing that God can still surprise us with is the appearance of Jesus in heaven. That's it. And so we stop. We stop. We say, you know what? I'm not going to see. God's given me everything that I want and need. There's nothing else, so I'm just going to stop short. Because the only thing left is heaven. Wrong. Wrong. Did Jesus stop serving people as he went to the cross? No, I'm pretty sure everywhere Jesus went, there was always someone to help, someone to serve, someone to love, someone to sacrifice for. True? All the way. All the way. All the way. I am pursuing Dioko. I am pursuing. That's my year this year. I am pursuing because I want more. Because there is more to be had. Christianity is the only thing in my life I haven't quit. It's the only thing. It's the only true thing worth pursuing. Because I can't perfect it. I can't get it 100%. I can't complete it. I can't complete the mission. It's not going to be like, what was that video game's name again? Legends of Zelda Age of Calamity. At some point, you're going to finish that game. And at some point, there'll be a new game, and you'll be like, oh, well, I finished that one, so I'll try a new one. Following Jesus is not like that. You can't master it. You can't collect all the coins or all the treasure or whatever it is. There's always something else as we follow Jesus. And here's the amazing thing. Living like Jesus and being called to live in accordance to where he is, church, this requires more faith for you and I to have today than we had yesterday. If you and I are going to become more like Jesus, 2025 is going to have to be more faithful than 2024. Because the faith of 2024 will not get you through 2025. That was last year's faith. That was yesterday's faith. It's not going to be good enough for what God is trying to bring you to this year. And so many people miss this. They just sleepwalk through their faith. They sleepwalk through their faith. I've learned enough. I've seen enough. I've done enough. Yeah, I'm just going to ride it out. I'm just going to ride it out. You are missing so much of what God is trying to offer you and reveal to you. When you get off the path and you think, good enough. Good enough. Church, if we're pursuing the life of Jesus, we will experience, good news, the difficulties of Jesus. We'll experience the difficulties of Jesus. And you know what? They're going to be worth it. They're going to be worth it. Because we are in the pursuit of Jesus. So, as we lay down our life for others, as we learn to love others better, we may get hurt. As we learn this year to serve others better, we may get taken advantage of. As we learn to follow Jesus more this year, it may take up more of our free time. We may have less time for video games. I'm not picking on the kids because we all have our stuff. We may have less time for whatever it is that you and I fill our time with, while more time is being devoted in pursuit of Jesus. What are we pursuing this year? Jesus is the only acceptable answer. If we're pursuing something else, Paul says, hey, look, reveal that to us too. Because that's probably something that needs to be made lesser, while Jesus is made more. Good, a couple of you still awake. Exactly. All right. Turn over to John 17. John 17. Just so you know that this really is a goal worth pursuing. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Verse 3. Jesus says to his followers, this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. This is eternal life. Now, on the one hand, we can look at that and say, wow, it really is that simple. To live eternally, we know God, and we know his Son. Right? But me, I'm an overthinker. So I tend to see a lot. Any overthinkers with me? It wasn't just a simple statement. It was, yes, but the magnitude of that simple statement and that ramifications of all of that in every direction could be a... Yeah. But I think my overthinking in this one is going in the right direction. Jesus says to his followers, this is eternal life. Knowing the Father, knowing the Son. Okay. Now, eternal life is our goal, right? Best thing to be had. The Apostle Paul himself had not reached it while he wrote those letters. He was in pursuit of it. Our ultimate goal, eternal life. Do you really think that we can just look at him and say, well, I know God. I know the Son. I got everything there is to get. You think that's what Jesus was saying? All right, good. You know him? Awesome. You're done. You're there. You've had everything there is to have. I think there's a lot more to this. I think there's a lot more to this very simple statement. Because sometimes you and I, we treat our faith like a child at Christmas, right? You ever, when the kids were little, and some of your kids are still little, but you remember when your kids were really little, and you just, whoa, you got the perfect gift? And that kid, if they didn't play with the box more than the toy, and it just drove you nuts, right? Give me, that's trash. Give me that trash. And they're like, I can put it on my head. I can crawl in it. I can scoot it around the floor. You're like, what? Why did we buy presents? Why did we not just give them boxes? Right? We all know this, right? Absolutely. Because there's a gift inside. I want you to enjoy the gift. And they're like, box. There's a box. I got a box. What more could I want? Can we make a fort out of it? Can we put things in it? Can you slide me around on the carpet because there's no snow? Church, you and I, a lot of us treat our faith just like that little kid. We get the box and we go, woo, it's a box. And God's going, there's so much more inside the box. There's so much more to the gift that we have been given by God. And so many of us are still playing with the box. We're still playing with the box. We haven't found the contents inside. It's like this. I don't know if anyone has ever sat around and thought about how great heaven's going to be. Like just, you know, daydreamed, imagined, wondered. Because whatever you've imagined, it's not even close. Whatever your brain can put together and think, oh, this and this. Yes and more. Not even close. But church, you know how a lot of us live? I mean, I make fun of the kids because we can all relate to them playing with the box. Most of us treat our faith as if we were let in the lobby of heaven and say, this will do. I mean, I've never seen a more ornate lobby before. I'll just hang out here. Yeah, but the party's in there. Yeah, but I mean, look at the couches in this lobby. You should see my couch at home. This is an upgrade. I mean, look at the chandeliers in the lobby of heaven. Chandeliers we got at sunrise. We just got that one blinking light, and it is just driving me crazy. No blinking light bulbs in heaven's lobby. This is amazing, right? And then the waiters and the waitresses come and they serve us and, you know, I'm good. I'm good. Just let me in the lobby of heaven and I'm good. Church, that's how we treat our faith sometimes. We get to the first part and we say, this is so good. And God says, yeah, but there's so much more. You can actually go into the party. You can go into where he is. Well, yeah, but this is so beautiful. I can't imagine anything more. You're right. You and I can't imagine anything more. That's why it's our faith. That's why it is just, I'm going to trust God to pursue Jesus. And where it takes me is better than where I am today. Where God takes me in my pursuit of Christ will lead me to better than where I am today. That is a goal worth pursuing. And church, in 2025, we must be pursuing. We can't just sit back. We can't quit. We can't just rely upon past achievements or past failures. We are pursuing. Because what is ahead of us is better than what's behind us. What God has planned for those who love Him is better than what we've experienced. And I'm halfway convinced He's talking about now and then. What God has planned for your future in your pursuit of Christ, because that brings you closer to Christ. The more we trust Him in faith, the more we are closer to Jesus. The more we walk in the footsteps of righteousness, the more we can say with the Apostle Paul, you know what? I'll lose everything else, because that's how big God is. I'll lose it all. I'll give it all up in my pursuit. If we're going to have that kind of faith, we have to know that God's going to say, I can reward that. I'm going to bring you to greater things because you're trusting me more. Right? And Chester read for us those treasure stories that Jesus told. I love those. Finds the treasure, and it's just so amazing. He just, he covers it back up, and he goes, and I'll give it all away. I just want that. And the guy that finds the perfect pearl. I mean, when you're in the pearl business, that's like, you know, the pearl. That's the goal. I'll sell all my other pearls just to have one. Right? Man. So you know how tall my boys are, right? Yeah. I thought they were kind of old too, but we got to spend some time with them this week for Christmas. So my sons are in their 20s. My sons got Pokemon cards for Christmas. If you are not aware of Pokemon cards, they're cards with little creatures on them. I mean, they're not even baseball cards with real people on them. They're like creatures, right? We got our boys Pokemon cards for Christmas. They were more excited about the Pokemon cards than anything else. And they were just, ooh, and this one, and this one. And Garrett said, Dad, these have real value. Like this one, it's worth $15. I said, ooh. Ooh. So I pulled my wallet out. Hey, see this one with the 2 and the 0? It's worth $20. Do you go back to work tomorrow? No, I made that part up. But you know what they told us? We trade in a bunch of these just to get the one. If you've ever collected or been a collector of anything, you know what I'm saying? The pursuit of the one. Like if I could have that one, I would give up the rest of the collection. That's what Jesus is saying in that scripture. I will give up everything else if I could just have the one, because the one is that good. Church, the goal of pursuing Jesus is that good. Eternal life, knowing God and knowing the Son, is that good. Put everything else away. This year, we are going to know Him and the power of His resurrection in our life and in the lives of others around us. That's our goal. That's our goal. I am pursuing. Dioko. I am pursuing. I'm not there yet. I've seen glimpses. I've had tastes. And it's good. But it can be better. That is my absolute expectation of God showing me and blessing me with more than He has up to this point. I have nowhere near tasted how good God is. And neither have you. Neither have you. So, I pray, I'm praying for you, I have been and I will continue, that you'll join me in this worthy pursuit of Jesus this year. He'll take us to some amazing places and He'll show us some awesome things if we chase Him. If we chase Him. So if you need to start your pursuit today, we open the invitation to you. And yeah, if you need anything, let us know.